Welcome back, sisters. We are just moving right along here in our John series. And today we're going to be doing John chapter 8, verses 27 through 59. Before Abraham was I am. Oh, Jesus always having to rebuke the Pharisees. And today he is really going to just continue to prove to them that he is God in the flesh. And boy, is it going to make them angry. Well, like normal, I am recording these live. We happen to be outside and there are children running around and having a great time as we are laboring together through the word as adults and as women. And so you're going to hear some of those wonderful background noises. But I thank you for just kind of overlooking that, as these videos were never really meant to be on a podcast. They were just done live on YouTube. And so thank you for your grace in that. And I just pray that you are enjoying this series and learning a lot. And contact me and let me know what you think. And if you have questions or anything that you need help with, just email me and I'll be happy to answer your questions. God bless. Hi, family. Welcome to God's Word Transforming Lives. Are you wanting to learn the Bible verse by verse, one letter at a time, with real life application? Then this podcast is for you. My name is Amy, and I have been teaching the Word of God to women for over 15 years now. I came out of some trauma from my childhood, and it left me feeling so empty. And after searching high and low with everything the world had to offer, I always came up short until I learned the Word of God for myself. And it was in that I became transformed. So if you would like to be transformed by God's Word, then stick around and let's do this together. Did you know that I have a study guide that I have written, sisters just like you, who really want to know the deeper things of God, who want to understand God's attributes like love, God is truth, God is righteous, he's just. What does it mean that he's omnipresent and omniscient? And what does that mean for you personally? When people talk about Jesus and being justified and sanctified and to be redeemed, and how can you apply it to your daily life? And so many other questions, like, can we really trust the Bible? And who are we as man? Is hell real? These are great questions that we need to know the answers to, as we are walking in our Christ-like faith. To love him is to know him. And Jesus said that we will be worshiping him in spirit and truth. And it is the truth that sets us free. So if you want to go deeper in your walk with God and have more understanding of the things that he has truly done for you and know more of the word for yourself, I highly recommend this study guide. I will have a link for you in the show notes on where you can get it. It is on Amazon. And it's called Equipping the Saints. I hope this episode blesses you.
We're going to start. We stopped at verse 26, where it said, I have many things to say to you. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who has sent me is true. I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. Jesus is completely submitted to the Father while he's here on earth. He is submitted. He only does what the Father is doing. He only says what the Father says. He could have said a lot of things to them. There's a lot of things that Jesus could have said. He could have judged them right then and there, and he could have said a lot of things. But he was submitted to the Father in all things. And you know, we need to get like that. We need to get like that, where we are watching. Father, what are you doing in this situation? Father, what are you doing at the grocery store? What are you doing at my job? Who are you already ministering to? We don't always have to have the last word. We don't always have to preach the gospel to every single solitary person that we see. That sounds so crazy, right? But ask the Father who he's saving. Ask the Father who he's already ministering to. You know, you don't have to have a word or an answer for every single conversation you have. Sometimes it's just good to just be a good listener. People need listeners, right? We live in a day and age when everyone wants to talk, everyone knows it all, everyone has an opinion. Sometimes it's good just to listen. We need to be like Jesus. What is the Father doing? What is he already doing? When I go to church on Sundays, I ask God, who are you already ministering to? Who are you already you know, what are you already doing that I can come alongside, that I can be your hands and feet? Sorry, live, for the distractions here. That I can be your live, that I can be your hands and feet. You know, what are you already doing? And so, you know, sometimes we get in conversations when we're at the grocery store and we think we got to have every answer. We've got to answer back everything. Sometimes it's just listening and then ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say in this situation? What word do you have for this person? And be submitted to that. You might have all kinds of intellectual things that you can say in any conversation, but what does the Holy Spirit want you to say? What is he saying to that person? What is he doing in that situation? Right? And so we need to be submitted to God the Father, to the Holy Spirit, as we're out in our days and in our walks. And so, verse 27, they did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. And then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself. But as the Father taught me, I speak these things. When you lift up the Son of Man, this literally means when he goes on the cross. Remember, we're 6 months out from the cross. We're about 6 months away from the cross in this part of the scripture. He's saying, you're going to know. You're going to know when you lift me up on that cross, when I die on that cross, you're finally going to get it. Now, some of them did get it. Remember, the veil got ripped. The earthquake came, dead bodies rose up after Jesus died on the cross and gave his spirit up. And some of them were like, we just killed the Messiah. Some of them said that, remember in the scriptures. We'll get to that. If you ever read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see it there. Other people got it at the resurrection. People saw that he rose from the dead and they were like, oh my gosh, you really are the Messiah. You really are God. We finally get it, right? But here's another thing. You want to know when everyone's going to get it? On Judgment Day. On Judgment Day, everyone's going to know that Jesus is God, that he is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And they're going to have to remember. Now, mind you, we're reading this 2,000 plus years later. All of these Pharisees are in eternal damnation right now. And guess what's playing over and over and over again in their torment? Every conversation they had with Jesus. Every time, even after the resurrection, remember Peter in Acts gave that grand speech about how they killed the Messiah and how he was their Messiah in Acts? Every time they had to continue to hear the gospel, when people were going and being fed to the lions and they were preaching the gospel the whole way there, right? Those things are going to be playing over and over again. And the same thing for us today. How many times do you hear the truth? How many times do you hear the truth about who Jesus is? You hear the truth about the gospel, but you refuse to believe the truth. And if you don't receive that revelation while you're here on this earth, you're going to hear it over and over and over again for all eternity in hell. Sinners will hear it. They'll know then that Jesus is God. We know now because we've received the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's revealed it to us via the Holy Spirit. Verse 29, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Jesus was sinless. He was perfect. He only did what the Father was doing. He only said what the Father told him to say. He was perfect. And all he wanted to do was bring all the glory to the Father, to please the Father. Do you know that should be our heart? We should wake up every day and go, Lord, I just want to please you today. What's going to please you today? And as you're going about your day, is this going to bring you glory, God? Is this going to please you? If I watch this movie, is this going to please you? If I hang out with these people in this particular place, is it going to bring glory to you? If I put my eyes upon this, is it going to bring you glory? Is it going to please you? If I minister to this person, if I go out and do this, see, there's good things and then there's excellent things. And sometimes we can do things that seem really good, but they're not what the Lord has told you to do. Are you walking in your giftings and your callings? Or are you walking in somebody else's gifting and callings because you feel more comfortable doing that? God's called you to do this. but you feel more comfortable over here. God's called you to be an evangelist, but it's easier to be in the children's ministry. Is that pleasing to the Father? No, because you're not doing His will. Jesus always only did the will of the Father. And as He spoke these words, verse 30, many believed Him. So people are hearing Him. Remember just a few verses up on 24, He's declaring, I am again. He's saying, I am God. And now He's saying, He said, I am the light. He has said to them, I am the light. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. The three things right there that only God can be. Only God can say, I'm the living water, well, you'll never thirst again. Only God can say that I am the bread, then you'll never hunger again. Only God can say, I am the light of the world, so that you will have eternal life. Only God can tell you those things and be true and make it happen. Because those are eternal, spiritual things. So if Jesus said, I am those things, He must be God. Because man can't give you that. Now, Jesus is man, but He's also God. And so He goes on to say, so now we have some of the crowd starting to believe Him. They're starting to go, I'm starting to get it. I'm starting to get the revelation. I'm starting to understand. Tell us more. So then Jesus kind of shifts here, and He starts to talk to the ones that are starting to believe. And He's talking to you and me here. And then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in My word, you are My disciples. A true disciple. A disciple means somebody who is learning. It's a learner. Someone who learns. If you abide. To abide means to follow. To consume. To be all consumed by. To abide in. Remember we talked about that when He said, eat My flesh and drink My blood. There is an abiding. Do you know the word abide is used 34 times in the New Testament scriptures? 31 of them are in just the Gospel of John. God wanted us to really understand how to abide in Jesus Christ, how to abide in our Christian walk. And now Jesus said, abide in My word. One of the saddest things about the modern church of America today is we do not abide in our word. We don't even know our word. We don't know the Bible for ourselves. We neglect the word, but oh, don't we abide in the 2 hours of basketball and football and baseball? Don't we abide in the awesome 2-hour programs on television? Don't we abide in entertainment? We abide in so many other things. We abide in our work and in our jobs. We even abide in good things like watching other people's sermons, coming to Friday night Bible studies, going to church on Wednesdays and Sundays. Those are good things. But that should never replace or be more important or come before abiding in His word. If we have time to abide in the things of this world, why don't we abide in His word where the word will never pass away? This is sharper than a two-edged sword. This is alive and active. This literally will transform your life. He's saying only those who abide in My word are truly My disciples. We need to get serious about abiding in this word again. We need to get serious about studying the word of God for ourselves, knowing doctrine, knowing Orthodox Christian theology, knowing church history. Why? Because we have more false teachers and more false prophets out there today than we have ever in the history of our Christendom. And we have more false teachers and more false prophets than we do true ones. And when you don't know the word for yourself, it's so easy to be deceived. It's so easy to be deceived nowadays because now we have social media that's really upped the bar and really given a great platform for false teachers and false prophets. And they make it look so good and sound good. We have television programs. They're all over the television. And they're teaching things about God that are not true. And we don't know because we're not in our word. And our word cannot be replaced by other people's sermons. Tonight's great. We go through the scripture, but then you need to go back and study it for yourself. And then He goes on to say, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Abiding in God's word brings freedom to the Christian. We're free from the religious spirit because now they can't bind yokes around our neck. We're free from man's traditions because they can't bind it around our neck. We're free from false prophets and false teachers because we know the truth and the truth has set us free, right? We don't have to worry about being tossed to and fro from every wind of doctrine. We're mature in our faith. We're founded in Jesus Christ. And also this truth is the revelation of who Jesus Christ has revealed himself to be in Scripture. I was reading something this week in 2 Corinthians where it said, you cannot call Jesus Lord unless you have the Holy Spirit of God. And I thought, that's really interesting. I looked up the word Lord, and do you know what Wikipedia says it means? Fully God and fully man. Secular Wikipedia understands what it means to call Jesus Lord, but how many people in the Christian faith do not understand that Jesus is God? It's the number one thing I go up against every single week. Every week. People, oh, I love Jesus. Oh, he's my Savior. Is he God? No, I don't think. I think he's just a good man. He's a good teacher. He's the Savior, but he's not God. Scary. Because, and I thought, God, how is that? He said, Second Corinthians, only the Holy Spirit can declare that Jesus is God. They don't have the Holy Spirit. It's a revelation. See, just like these people, Jesus has been declaring chapter after chapter after chapter, I am God, I am the Savior, I am the Messiah, I am the I am. And they couldn't see it because the revelation of the Holy Spirit was not granted to them. He's standing right in front of them. It says the Holy Spirit gives us the revelation of who Jesus is. So it's the truth that sets you free. And so many people profess Christ and they're not free. And then they wonder why they walk in all sorts of bondages. Why they're walking in not victory in their life. Why they're still walking in so many things that Christ said, I have set you free from that. And they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? I just sometimes wonder how, I mean, these Pharisees, they've never been in bondage. Egypt, Assyria, I just named two, Babylon. And they're right now, as they're speaking, they're in bondage to Rome. But they've never been in bondage because they're Abraham's seed. Of course, Jesus is speaking about spiritual things, but they can't see that because they're too earthly minded. But they're also in bondage to sin. They're in bondage to sin. And they're in bondage to Satan. And we're going to see that. They're in bondage to Satan. And they answered him, verse 34. Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. I'm going to repeat that. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. If you have habitual sin in your life right now, it's your master. You're enslaved to it because it owns you. Christ don't own you. You're letting sin own you. You're letting sin be the, you're letting sin rule you. And Jesus is saying here, you're a slave to sin. We're supposed to be slaves to righteousness now. Remember, we were in the slave market of sin where Satan was our master. And then Jesus redeemed us out of that market and put us into his slave market of righteousness where now he's our master. So why are we still walking in habitual sin? If God has dealt with you on a thing, if God has said to you, this is sin and I want it plucked out, why are you still testing your God? Why are you still playing with it? Could it be because you're not abiding in your word? Could it be? Could be. He says, a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Slaves don't get the inheritance, y'all. Slaves to sin don't get to go to heaven and abide with the Father forever. You can have justified it somehow in your mind that it's okay and that God's going to give you a free pass, but I'm going to stand on the side of his word. And I'm going to trust that Jesus is not a liar and that if he said that we will not inherit the kingdom of God if we continue to walk in these habitual sins, I'm going to trust him and I'm going to get on my face before him and I'm going to ask him to get this stuff out of me. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. We love to quote that. The truth shall set you free. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. We quote that all the time, but do we believe it? Do we believe that Jesus can set you free from besetting sins, from pet sins, from habitual sin, to give you new desires and new affections? Or do we still think we need humanism? We need 12-step programs, we need psychologists, we need pills, we need... Or can Jesus make you free? Is he your God? Is he the supernatural God of the universe? Jesus says, if I've touched you, you're free. That doesn't mean we don't still battle sin. It's our sin nature. We still battle that sin nature inside of us. That's part of the curse. We'll always battle it. But if God is dealing with you on a thing, he has pulled back an onion of your layer. He has pulled out a box and said, I want this plucked out. Get it plucked out. Because there's many people that are still winking at their sin. They're still winking at things in their life. And then they wonder why certain things are happening in their life. Why there's locusts in their marriages, why there's locusts in their homes, why there's locusts on their finances, why there is locusts on their children. I'm not saying life just suddenly gets perfect, but I am saying that God's discipline is real. If he's dealing with you on a thing, if he's dealing with me on a thing, then we need to get serious about getting it plucked out. Go on a fast, go on a water fast and seek his face. He says, if I've made you free, you're free indeed. Satan don't have no power in your life unless you're allowing him to have it. If there's anything in your life that's above God, and that's anything that's an idol, anything that you can't leave here today and lay down and walk away from is an idol. Anything. Anything that you can't hand God and say, you know what, it's yours, I'm done, I'm walking away. It's an idol. We've given the enemy a license, and we're a slave to that sin. We're a slave to it. He's like, listen, verse 37, I know that you're Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. You guys can't see the truth. I'm standing here right in front of you. I get it that you're Abraham's descendants. They want to keep falling back on that. See, they thought, the Jewish race thought, that because they were Abraham's seed, that they were automatically inherited of the kingdom. That's it. Because you're Jewish, you automatically inherit the kingdom. We actually have talk of that for Justin Martyr. When he wrote that letter, he was talking to a Jewish man. This was after the death, burial, and resurrection. That he was talking to a Jewish man. And the Jewish man said, listen, I don't need your Jesus. I'm a seed of Abraham. I automatically get the inheritance. And Justin's like, no, you don't. That's not how it works. And Jesus is going to say that here too. But that's what they want to keep falling back on. And you know, we do that. Well, my parents were missionaries. My dad's a pastor, right? I'm a Mormon, so I know I'm a Jehovah's Witness, so I know I'm going. I got baptized as a baby. I'm good. I'm in the Catholic faith. I'm good. We like to fall back on our religious rituals, on our religious rites, on our religious family, and we think that that's where our inheritance comes from. No, Jesus says, you must repent and believe in me and who I have revealed myself to be. Doesn't matter who mommy and daddy are. Doesn't matter what you're raising. Doesn't matter about your baptisms and what rituals you've done and how much you take communion, how much you go to church. Repent and believe. He says, I speak, verse 38, what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. Ooh. He's like, listen, me and the Father are one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Trinity, we are one. And I have the characteristics of my Father. I have his attributes of holiness and love and justice and truth. And guess what he's saying here? You have the attributes of your father, the devil.
Amen.
Woo.
That's scary.
You're the seeds of Abraham? Your father's the devil, is what he's saying to them. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But see, they don't do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. And Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Abraham believed Jesus. When Jesus came to Abraham, when did Jesus come to Abraham? Genesis 18. Three people showed up. Two were an angel, and one was Christ. It's called a Christophany. And he spoke to Abraham and told him about Sodom and Gomorrah. He told him that he was going to have the son of promise. And you know what Abraham did? He believed him. And he had faith in him. And he didn't reject him. But see, that's what they're doing. They don't believe Jesus is God. He's standing right before him, just like he did before Abraham. And they don't believe him. You do the deeds of your father. And then they said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one God. They do well. They have one God. God is monotheistic. We are fiercely, as Christians, monotheistic. There is one God operating in three separate people, three separate wills, three separate personalities, but one essence. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Don't try to fully figure it out. It's above us. It's above our finite mind, but the scripture teaches it. It's truth. And it's an essential doctrine of the Christian faith. But when they use that word fornication, two different things. The Jews firmly believe that Jesus was a child of infidelity, or not infidelity, but like a bastard child, basically. Because Mary technically wasn't married when she got pregnant. So that tradition came down. And it's even in the Talmud today, the Jewish Talmud, that it talks about Jesus that Joseph was not married, that he was born out of fornication. So there's that. He's saying you were born out of fornication, right? Because they don't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe that God is the father of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. That's one. But then there's another aspect that we have to look at here. When they use that word, we're not of fornication, they're also could be saying we're not of the pagan world. One thing that is common all through history in every pagan world, every Gentile world, is sexual immorality. Sexual immorality abounds in every pagan culture. Back then, they had the temple prostitutes, and they would have sex with them and have orgies with them in order to please their gods. Correct? All through the Old Testament. Why would God's judgment come down? Sexual immorality. Why was Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed? Sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is butted up against, is one with paganism and being a Gentile. And you can read that in the New Testament, where it's always telling us to remove ourselves as a bride without spot and blemish from sexual immorality, because we're to be apart from the Gentile world. We are not to look like the Gentile world. We're not to act like the Gentile world. But yet, what is the one thing that abounds in Christianity today?
Sexual immorality.
Pornography. It's like 88% of all evangelical singles who profess to be Christian are having sex outside of marriage, inside the church. We've already gone through the statistics of the pornography that's abounding. The pastors, 73% don't even believe pornography is a sin anymore. Right? One out of every seven lead pastors are addicted to pornography, and one out of every five youth pastors. That's over 55,000 elders of the faith just in America alone are admittedly, habitually addicted to pornography. But yet, all through the New Testament, almost every letter addresses it, because that's one of the sins, one of the major sins that is butted up against, is entangled with paganism and being a Gentile. And Jesus says, I'm coming back for a bride without spot and blemish. We're not to have sexual immorality among us. It's to be plucked out. Take your eye out. Cut your hand off. Yet it abounds in the church. And we wink at it. Well, we don't want to get anybody upset. We don't want to lose their membership or their tithe money or their... Don't want to make family mad. I don't know. I'm worried about making God mad. I'm not here to please man. I'm here to please the Father. And I want to live my life according to this scripture. Yeah. And the closer I get to this scripture, the more persecution that's going to come. That's a warning, saints. Verse 42, and Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he who sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. They are blinded by sin. There's many people that are blinded by sin today when we try to preach the gospel. I cannot believe. Sometimes I'll sit down with people and they do not believe that Jesus is God. I had this happen last week to me. And we labored through the scriptures and labored through the scriptures. And no matter how much, this person couldn't see it. They were so, it was a veil. And I said, Lord, how is this possible? He said, because they have to have the Holy Spirit. He reveals the truth. You are, 44, you are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. Whoa. That was each and every one of us before salvation. And if you're not here and you're not saved tonight, that is you. We do the desires of our father, the devil. I did the desires of my father, the devil, before salvation. I had sex outside of marriage. I had adultery. I drank. I partied. I loved money and vanity and pride and success. And I loved it all. I did the desires of my father, the devil. No matter what I professed Christ the whole time I was doing it. But just like Jesus is saying them, you can profess God, you can profess the God of Israel, but by your works, you are children of the devil. By my works, I was a child of the devil. There's going to be a lot of people that get before Jesus on Judgment Day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't I say, didn't I do? He's going to say, depart from me, you were children of the devil. You didn't believe me. You didn't know me. Remember he said that 2 weeks ago? You don't know me. You refuse to know me. He says, you do the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. When he's saying, listen, the devil has been a liar from the beginning. He lied to Eve, and he's been a murderer from the beginning. He murdered the human race spiritually. He lied to her, and sin entered in and murdered the human race, gave us the seed of Adam. And he said, that's his very resource. It's who he is. Those are Satan's attributes. You know how God's attributes are holiness and love and righteousness and truth? Well, guess what Satan's attributes are? Liar, deceiver, murderer, right? Destroyer. And he's saying, you have the characteristics of your father. And we, saints, need to have the characteristics of who we say our father is. Amen. Holiness, righteousness, truth, love. Because if we have a lying spirit and a hating spirit, that's murder, sexual immorality, deception, adultery, idolatry, those are the traits of Satan. Choose whom this day you're going to serve. You can only have one master. You're either a child of the devil here tonight, or you're a child of God. And your works, your transformed life, the way you act, what you do, what you say, I'm not talking about sinless perfection, but your lifestyle will tell you who your daddy is. So there's no truth in him. Verse 45, because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Which of you convicts me of a sin? He's asking the crowd, do you have anything on me? I've been walking here for 3 years with you. Trust me, you could walk around with me one day and you'll find something. One day, you're like, yep, there it is. That's a sin. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I repent. I could walk around with any one of you every single day and I'll find something, because we're not sinless. We're not perfect. He walked around with these people for 3 years and not one person could say one thing. Not one, not even a tiny little thing. Not even a, you slept in too long. You ate too much bread. You drank just a sip too much wine. Nothing. They got nothing on them. And if I tell you the truth, why don't you believe me? He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Jesus speaks for God. God speaks through Jesus Christ. See, no one has seen the Father except for Jesus. So when we see people speaking to God in the Old Testament, they're speaking to Jesus because Jesus has always been. Verse 48, the Jews answered and said to him, "Do we say rightly that you're a Samaritan and have a demon?" So they're calling him a slur word. When they called him a Samaritan, they're basically saying, you're full of paganism and you're like a bad word. So like whatever, like an ethnic word. So like whatever somebody would call a white person like a bad word, or someone that would call a black person a bad word, or a Hispanic person or an Asian person, like whatever those slur words are, that's basically what they're calling him. So they'd be like, you cracker. I think that's what we're called, right? Cracker. So he would be like, you know, so you a cracker and you have a demon? The demon, when they say the demon, they think he's, are you insane? Are you insane? Have you absolutely lost your mind? And Jesus answered, I do not have a demon. Okay, so there's that. But I honor my Father and you dishonor me. Remember back in chapter 5, Jesus said, you must honor me in the same way that you honor the Father. Jesus wasn't God. He could not say that. They would have all walked away. You have to honor him. He says, and you don't honor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. See that Jesus, he came to earth to point everybody to the Father, but then the Father turns around and points everyone back to Christ. And the fullness of the Godhead, according to Colossians, dwells in Christ, and it pleases the Father. It's, you know what we're really watching out, watching play out in history? A love affair between the Father and the Son, and we just got caught up in it. Jesus came first and foremost for the love of the Father. Jesus died on the cross first and foremost for the love of the Father. And then for us, we get the benefits of the love affair between the Father and the Son. He brings and gives all the glory to the Father. The Father turns around and gives all the glory to the Son. Why? Because they're one. They're one. Most assuredly, remember, pay attention. Most assuredly, pay attention. Listen up. I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Again, he's talking spiritual death here. Pharisees can't see it. They're too earthly minded. And then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. They can only see physical death. He's like, are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? Why, yes, Jesus said. Why, yes, I am greater than Abraham. Yes, yes, I am. Remember the woman at the well? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who put these wells in? Why, yes. Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, I created Jacob. I created Abraham. I am God. Yes, I am. He said, Jesus says, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me. My Father honors me. That love affair again. Of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. I'll be a liar like you. Because your father, the devil, is a liar, and so are you. But Jesus ain't a liar. Remember, not one person could accuse him of anything. He was sinless perfection. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. See, they want to attribute that they're the seed of Abraham. He's saying no, because Abraham rejoiced in me. How would Abraham have saw his day if Abraham had been long gone dead for thousands upon thousands of years? The Christophorses. It's believed that Jesus was the king of Melchizedek, the king of Salem. He had no beginning and no end, no parents. And he ran into Abraham after he had just fought and got Lot out of that battle. And then Jesus, and then the king gave him 10%. Right? That was Jesus he ran into. The priest and the king. Because Jesus is high priest and king. Jesus has always existed. John 1:1. John 1:1. And Abraham rejoiced. He rejoiced to know that he would be the seed of the nations that would bring forth the Messiah. And he'd be the father of many nations through Jesus Christ. And then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and yet you've seen Abraham. And this is where it just, you can't fight me no more. If you've been trying to fight me this whole time on Jesus is God, the fight is over. Are you ready? And Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And he literally uses the word Yahweh. I am the Old Testament God. He uses the Greek, the Hebrew word, Yehovah, U-E-I-U-I, I am. The same thing when the burning bush with Moses, when he says, I am that I am. Jesus just said, I am. Now, he said it multiple times throughout here, too. But he's saying, before Abraham was, I am. Now, how do we know that the Jewish people knew exactly what he was saying? Because the very next verse, they took up thrones to throw at him. They immediately wanted to kill him because they knew that he just said, I am. I am Yahweh. I am God of the Old Testament. So you have to ask yourself tonight, is Jesus a liar? Because they didn't think that he was, they thought he was lying, but was he lying? Did they have a right to stone him right then and there? Was he lying?
No,
because he's sinless perfection. He's the spotless lamb. Now, they wanted to stone him because he just said, I am God. So is Jesus a liar? Is Jesus a liar?
No, he's not.
Then is he God?
Yes.
Because he just said it. I'm God. I was before Abraham. I am. He's using the I am. I am Yahweh. And they wanted to kill him right then and there for it. Now, the entire book of John declares that he is I am, that he is God. He is the Son of God, and he's also the Son of Man. Both of those titles are given to Jesus Christ. And you need to start asking people as they're professing Christ, as they're professing, you need to start asking them, who do you say that Jesus is? Because there's a lot of people professing Jesus, but they don't know him. They don't know him. They couldn't kill him. Jesus hid himself and went out to the temple, going through the midst of them and passed by. That's a miraculous thing. He was able to miraculously pass by them. It wasn't his time yet. He was to be crucified, not stoned by them. But when we first started out in John 1:1, what was the one thing I said to you guys? By the end of this book, you're going to have to come to a conclusion that either Jesus is God or he's a liar. And if he's a liar, then he's not the sacrifice for us. You need to pack your Bible and go back out into the world and enjoy whatever life you have here, because there's nothing left for you on the other side. And that is the end of this chapter, and we are done. But what we need to understand is Jesus is God, yes, and we need to worship him as God, but we need to abide in him. Mm-hmm. And I want you guys to go through this week, and I want you guys to pay attention to what you abide in this week. How much time do you abide in Netflix and Hulu and social media and work? And there's good things. We got to work. How much time do you abide in other things, but you neglect the Word of God in your life? Take an honest look. I'm going to do the same thing this week. I don't sit up here and go, I'm sinless, perfect. When I'm studying this stuff out, I am weeping half the time. Like, I suck. Am I even saved? I think my father's the devil. You know, I'm reevaluating my own walk and going, God, how much do I abide in you versus other things? But that's what it says to be his disciple. We're to abide in his word. And we're to obey it. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord and yet not obey me? Only those who obey God are truly his. We desire, we should want to. That should be part of the new transformed life, the new nature. And so go out this week, and I want you to really evaluate what you abide in. What do you put your affections in? What does most of your time go to? And then compare it to abiding in him, abiding in his word, abiding in prayer, abiding in worship. And not just toilet devotionals. We need to abide. We need to learn how to study the Word of God and let it transform our lives, because it will, and it does.
Father, thank you. Thank you once again for our glorious salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, who really is the great I am. God with us, Emmanuel. And Father, I just continue to ask that you continue to show us through your grace and your mercy how we too can just walk in the gifts and calling in which you've given us, to walk faithfully and obediently to you while we are on this earth. There are so many distractions and so many things that hit us at all times, but we want to be faithful to you, Lord. And I pray for each and every one of my sisters, Father, that they would just continue to seek after your face. They would continue to desire to know you on a deeper level, that they would crave your word on a daily basis to study and show themselves approved. Father, that you would just continue to wrap yourself around them in love and in truth and in comfort and in peace, as I know that they have their struggles and they have things they're going through in their daily lives. Father, I pray for their marriages. I pray for their relationships. I pray, Father, for their children, grandchildren. Lord, I pray, God, for finances and their spiritual walks and maybe church hurt and confusion and chaos and just, you know, so many different things that are being thrown at your bride right now, Lord. The enemy is working overtime to frustrate us and try to get us off our game. Oh, but you will never leave us or forsake us, and nothing and no one can snatch us out of your hands, and we're so grateful for that. So be with them, strengthen them, encourage them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Until next time, sisters, God bless you. Family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If it has blessed you in any way, would you give me 30 seconds and share it with a friend of yours? One more small little favor, if you would. Head over to whatever podcast source you're listening to this on and give me a 5-star review. That would be so great. It helps get the episodes out there to other people who may be wanting to learn God's word. Again, don't forget, guys, until next time, it is a crockpot faith, not a microwave. With God's word, discipleship, and patience, you too will be transformed for his good work. Grace and peace I leave with you until next time.